The Feast of Christ the King. The epistle is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were created all things in heaven and on the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. Again, he is the head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have the first place. For it has pleased God the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on the earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own people and chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would certainly have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, I am a king. This is why I was born and why I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In 1925, Pope Pius XI established this feast, the Feast of Christ the King. It's a very late feast in our calendar. But because of the events in the world at the time, he felt the need to proclaim the kingship of Christ. So if you recall, 1925, the world was still recovering from the First World War. The First World War, of course, was a terrible war. It tore apart the very fabric of Europe. And as a proposal to try to prevent future conflicts of such nature, the President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, suggested, or actually didn't more than suggest, proposed the League of Nations. This would be a group where people would come together, the statesmen could come together, the nations could come together in order to try to air their difficulties, in order to try to prevent another world cataclysm. As we know, it didn't work. There was, of course, was another war. The League of Nations failed, and then there was established the United Nations, which is basically the League of Nations under a different name. But the Pope felt the need to address this. Woodrow Wilson was proposing a secular solution to the problem of war, the problem of a lack of peace. The statesmen would come together and to try to sort out the difficulties. Pope Pius XI felt the need to preach the truth. Peace will not come until Christ is recognized as King. A secular attempt at peace will ultimately fail. He talks about how society, even at that time, 1925, was in a terrible state. Why? Because already countries were refusing to recognize Christ. These were Christian countries in Europe, or what were Christian countries. And he talked about the sorry state, or the poor state of society at the time. Were he alive today, what would he say? How much worse things are today. Pope Pius XI teaches that Christ is King. He goes through the Old Testament and points out the various places where the prophets point to his kingship. And remember, the Jews misunderstood this. They imagined that he would come in order to establish a worldly kingdom, that he would be the king of the world in a worldly sense, like Caesar. Talks about the throne of David, and he would be on the throne forever. They didn't understand the aspect, the true aspect of Christ's kingship. Christ is king in two ways. First, he is king because he's God. He created all things, and nothing continues without his work, without his supporting it. This is what some of what St. Paul is saying in the epistle. Because he's God, he is king. But he is also king because he is man. Remember, Christ is true God and true man. Two natures, one person. He is king through his divinity, but he is also king through his humanity. Why? Because he suffered and died upon the cross. He spilled his blood, and he was resurrected, and he ascends into heaven. And because of that, he is king. St. Paul says this, that whether on earth or in heavens, making peace through what? The blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is through his cross that Christ as man is king. So he is king through both of his natures. Through both of them. Now, Pope Pius XII goes on to explain. He says Christ is king. Within him is all three powers of government. He points it out. He is both executive, legislative, and judicial branch. His kingdom is not of this world, as he says to Pontius Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. However, it is in the world. It is not of the world, but it is in the world. How is it in the world? First and foremost, in the institution of the Catholic Church. It is his institution that he formed and continues. And this is a way in which his kingship is extended here. He is king also by means of baptism. All baptized believers, whether they're Catholics or Protestants or fallen away Catholics, in virtue of their baptism, they fall under the kingship of Christ. But even more so, he is king of even the unbaptized. Remember, through his Godhead, he is king of everyone, individually, whether they recognize him or not. However, the Pope goes on. He says, Christ is not just king internally in the individual, but he is also king of society and of nations. He is the king over nations. And this is what the Pope was really trying to address, was that the nations were refusing to recognize that, or weren't recognizing that. They were seeking a secular, a non-religious solution to the world's problems. And he says, until the nations recognize Christ as king, until people recognize Christ as king, there will be no peace. Everyone with authority, be it a temporal authority as some worldly leader, be it hereditary, a king or a prince or elected official, a representative, a senator, a president, everyone, including people with natural authority, the father of a family has an authority, or supernatural authority, a priest, until everyone recognizes that that authority comes from Christ. And that person who has that authority does not have it in virtue of their own merits or their own goodness, but has it in virtue of Christ giving it to them, of being what would be called a vice regent of Christ. They exercise that authority in the name of Christ and in union with him. And the Holy Father says that everyone should recognize this. Once this is recognized by the individual in the authority and also the people under that authority, and until that is recognized, that there will be difficulties and troubles in society. Christ is King of the individual, He is King of the nation, and He is King of society. And He is King now. Sometimes people want to say that Christ is King, His kingship is at the end of time. That we're praying and hoping that the kingdom of Christ would come at the end of time. No. It begins now. It began at the early church, at His death, resurrection, and ascension. And it comes to fulfillment at the end of time. But He is not King only at the end of time. He is King now. And that it is important for us, it is incumbent upon us to recognize that, speak about that, teach that, hold that, and promote that. This is why the Holy Father felt the need to establish this feast, the Feast of Christ the King. Because there will be no peace in the world until Christ reigns in the heart and until Christ reigns in society and in our government institutions. There is no other way except by Christ. And there is no other way than recognizing His kingship. So, today, on the Feast of Christ the King, we must remember this. And we must pray that He would reign in our hearts. But not only in our hearts, but in our families, and in our society, in our nation, and in all nations. The Pope gives us a warning. He says that the terrible state of society, this was in 1925, arises because Christ as King is not recognized. And so for us, to solve many problems, to improve the situation in the world, we must then pray for the kingdom of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.